Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned away from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity, and he said that he would not bring it upon them, and he did not.
Our second scripture this morning comes from the first of Paul's letters to the Corinthians. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. "I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our final reading today comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. What I hope is a familiar story to you, and you can find it on page 33 of the New Testament. "Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little farther. He saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, with the exception of that middle reading, which was a little obtuse, and we'll get to that in a little bit, I believe that all three of these readings have to do with two things. One is obedience, and the other is fish. Obedience and fish. And so, if you'll indulge me, I have three fish stories for you this morning. I want you to first think about the reading that Logan did such a terrific job on, the reading from the book of Jonah. Now, we picked it up at a place that most people don't think about in the story of Jonah, but you probably know how it goes. If we went back a little further to the beginning of the book, God is calling Jonah to do a specific task. Jonah has been given a ministry, if you will. Jonah is supposed to go to Nineveh to tell the people of that huge city that they have been sinners for too long, that they need to repent of their sins and follow God once again. But what does Jonah do? Nineveh is this way. He goes completely the opposite direction to Tarshish, gets on a boat and tries to sail away from God. Now, if you know the story, you know that when he's on board this ship, he's actually asleep down in the hold, a huge storm blows up. In fact, Scripture says that God caused the storm to come upon this ship bound for Tarshish. The sailors are beside themselves trying to figure out what's going on. Why this storm all of a sudden? They wake up Jonah to ask if he has any clue, and he comes groggily to the deck and says, "Yeah, you know, I think I may understand what's going on." So they say, "Well, what's happening?" He said, I have turned from God. I'm fleeing God because I'm afraid of this ministry. And I think I'm the cause of the storm. So again, the sailors are beside themselves trying to figure out what to do. And Jonah pipes up. He says, you know, I think you really need to throw me overboard because I'm the source of this storm. And they at first discount that idea, but finally they've come to the recognition that that is what they need to do at Jonah's suggestion. So over the side of the boat he goes, and sure enough, the storm dies down. Well, again, in kind of strange words, the Scripture says that God provided a large fish that swallowed Jonah. And he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of this fish. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a sneaking suspicion that if you were to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, you'd probably be ready to repent. And it worked that way with Jonah. He has this wonderful psalm-like lament, asking God for forgiveness, asking that God allows him to be obedient. So in this wonderful scriptural regurgitation, it says that the big fish spewed Jonah out on dry land. And that's where we pick up today's story. Jonah then figures finally he gets it. He walks into Nineveh, a 3 days journey across. He takes one day and he starts proclaiming to anyone who would hear, repent, God needs you to turn things around and follow Him once again. The king and all the people do this. They fast, they put on sackcloth, they repent, and you have the story of Jonah. It goes on, but for our purposes today, that's the story. And there are two things I think that are remarkable about this story that have meaning for us. First of all, God has ingenious ways of convincing us that we need to be obedient to God's calling on our lives. Now, I don't know any, in this postmodern world, you don't often hear about somebody getting swallowed by a fish and spending 3 days and three nights. It doesn't happen literally. I don't think God works that way these days. But I can guarantee you that there are folks who metaphorically have spent 3 days and three nights in an unknown place trying to understand why they have turned away from God. People in the belly of their misfortune and sin trying to understand how they can be obedient to God once more. The second thing that's remarkable about this story is that not too many times in the Holy Scripture, but this time for sure, God actually changes God's mind. God was destined. He was guaranteed that He was going to destroy the entire city of Nineveh. But after Jonah went through and talked to the people, the king and all the folks turned their lives around. And God said, you know, that calamity thing is not such a good idea after all. God recognized that those folks had made a real effort at obedience, and God changed God's mind. In fact, God always is ready to respond when we respond by becoming more obedient to God's call. The second story, the second fish story, has to do with the graphic that's on the front of your bulletin. First of all, it got printed too high, but lower your eyes a tad. See that fish symbol? Does anybody know what that's called? It's a fish symbol. Thank you, Don, for that astute answer. Well, this is called the ichthus. And it turns out that ichthus is the Greek word for fish. Now, the reading that Ken read is at a time in the first century when Paul and the people of the Corinthian church were convinced it's going to be a few more days and Jesus is going to come back. That's why Paul was saying, if you're married, you ought to act like you're not married. If you have possessions, if you're getting ready to buy something, you ought to pretend you don't have anything at all because it's so close that God is coming back. Jesus will return. Our life is nothing like it ought to be. We ought to get ready. That didn't happen. We know that. And a little bit further on in the history of the church, the Roman Empire turned on Christian people and started persecuting folks who believed in Jesus Christ. Now, as you read through the Scripture, a lot of times there are these images of fish. images of fishing. We have the story from Mark, and we'll get to that in a tad too. But those were fishermen. Christian people were kind of paralleled with fishing and fish. So in this time of persecution, this became an important symbol. And it turns out that the Greek word for fish, as I mentioned, is ichthys. And if you look at the letters, and usually it was displayed just as a fish without the letters, but the letters that you see there are iota, chi, theta, upsilon, sigma. Those spell out fish. But there, it turns out that this is also an acrostic, which is a word whose letters are the first letters of other words. And it turns out that if you translate this, ichthys, there are many different versions of it, but the most agreed upon version is ichthys stands for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So ichthys, iota, chi, theta, upsilon, sigma, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And the point of having this symbol is because at the time that the Roman Empire was persecuting Christians, you had to have a way, if you were going to be obedient to God, you had to have a way to figure out if the person you were meeting was a Christian or not. They needed a password or a secret handshake, and it turns out that the ichthys was this password. If you met somebody you didn't know, in the conversation you might gently pick up a stick and draw an arc in the sand. Now, if the person you were meeting was a Christian, they would take up a stick, go to the sand, and draw an opposite arc that lined up with the first one and extend it on into the tail of the fish. So that ichthys became the symbol that allowed people to identify each other as Christians. You know, if you weren't a Christian and you saw this dude doing an arc in the sand, you'd pretty much ignore it and no one would be the wiser. But Christians were trying to find a way to be obedient to God's call to be in community together. And the only way you could do that without being persecuted was to have this secret handshake, the password, that allowed them to come together. My third fish story for you today has to do with the Gospel of Mark that I read this morning. That familiar story, Jesus had just understood that John the Baptist was thrown in prison. And so this was the beginning of Jesus Christ and His adult ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come to the kingdom of God. And so as Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, you heard the story. He calls out Simon and Simon Peter. Who's the other one? James, thank you. James and John. Anyway, four guys he calls out. And these guys are all fishermen. Okay? And Jesus says to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Again, some fairly remarkable things about this story. The first one is the incredible obedience of these fishermen. Simple workers who were called and who literally walked away from everything they owned in order to follow Jesus. Now, let me give you a modern example. How many of you are anglers? How many of you go fishing? Yeah, Ken Burvey better raise his hand. Now, those of you who are anglers or those of you who are married to an angler or know folks who fish, think about all your tackle boxes, okay? Think about all the lures and all the bait. Think about all the rods you've accumulated for Ken. You know, it's ice fishing rigs. It's spin casting reels. It's fly fishing outfits. Think about all the gear you have. Well, that's just the way it was for these Galilean fishermen as well. They had boats. They had nets, they had buckets, they had barrels. Imagine you modern anglers, Jesus coming to you and saying, leave it all behind, follow me, and you walked away from every bit of equipment you've ever bought. And not only that, these Galilean fishermen walked away from their families, from the folks who worked with them. They left their hometowns. They left everything in obedience to that simple call from Jesus Christ. The other thing, think about the enterprise of fishing. For as long as there have been people living near bodies of water, folks have been eating fish. And the enterprise of fishing is fairly simple, to catch a fish. And at the time of the fishermen of Galilee, they would throw out huge nets. As time went on, people used spears to catch fish. They used lures or bait. But the bottom line is they were trying to catch fish. Well, and that's what Jesus said to these fishermen. I want you to come with me, and instead of fishing for fish, we will together fish for people. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus is calling us to do today. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. We are called to make, all of us are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We take the net of the good news, the Holy Bible, and we throw that out to everyone we meet, everyone we know, everyone we love. By our simple example, by who we are, we reflect God's love and God's grace. We show people the transformational power of the Holy Word, and then the Holy Spirit does the rest. We simply need to throw the net. I pray, my brothers and sisters, that we may be obedient to the call of Jesus Christ. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Now that's a fish story worth repeating. Amen.